This is the Jump Around with Jim Rutledge on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
The Jump Around 3.0, as I like to call it. Those who are diehard ESPN Madison listeners know the Jump Around first existed as a Badger-dedicated podcast that had the likes of Lamar Soup Campbell on the show regularly, Badger reporter legend Tom Lee on the show regularly. We had Brad Nortman, who now joins me as one of our early guests on the Jump Around when we shot that podcast or recorded that podcast down on Regent Street, across from where, or basically right next to where Greenbush Donuts is now. That's where our original studio was, Brad, for the Jump Around in the Regent Street apartments. Now we're in the Everlight Solar studio. I'm live in Madison. You're live in Milwaukee. This is the Jump Around 3.0. Brad Nortman, Badger legend, Badger punter, host of KBN, now joins me on the Jump Around. He'll be joining me regularly on the Jump Around for the foreseeable future as we have, well, you know, I guess what's old is new. We have recreated a Badger-dedicated podcast that is now streaming every Thursday at 12:30. It'll be in the varsity selection on Wisconsin On Demand, and I'm sure we'll have plenty of social media from this as well. Brad, thanks for joining the show.
It's good to be on the show, Jim. I remember that time with you very vividly when I was a player all the way back at Jump Around 1.0, right, over to 3.0. And even at the time, I'm curious, do you remember it, one? And two, did you think to yourself, you know what? This guy's got some chops. He might make it in the industry one day.
I will take credit. I didn't know if you'd be a radio host, but I remember you and Aaron Henry, Melvin Gordon. There were a few players that really stood out, that your interview went super long. And I'll be honest, Brad, I probably said, too bad that guy's a punter. Otherwise, he might have a really good media career. Because who cares about the punter? But no, you had plenty of great stories, and you were able to kind of carry the conversation and reveal yourself. And as this show goes along, those who don't know you, we had Nate Tice, former Badger quarterback, obviously now with I think the NFL Network a little bit, and with Yahoo, has worked for a couple different media outlets. His dad, Mike Tice, coached the NFC North. I said he knows the North well, but when we brought you up, one of the first things he said about you is you guys were, I guess, almost like a Ted Lasso situation where the two of you, one, you were the main holder and he was the backup holder, but he said that you're a way better athlete than most punters and most special teamers he ever came across.
How about that? Yeah, I mean, I can attest to that, Jim, that I got some athletic ability in there. That's how you pull off a fake punt or two for the Wisconsin Badgers. But yeah, Nate Tice, backup holder. Whenever people try to hold and be a backup holder or anything like that, you get a real appreciation for what the specialist life looked like. And Nate was great. I have no surprise that he is having such success in media, in breaking down film, and being a thoughtful, insightful advocate for NFL players and college players out there. So good to see him having success. And man, just the guys you mentioned of Aaron Henry and Melvin Gordon and Nate Tice, Brad Nortman, of course.
Yes.
We had some really good players and some really good guys on those teams.
And that was the heyday of Badger athletics. And then we're going to get to the state of the program right now. Back in your day, as I make you sound like an old man, and I'm putting these words into your mouth, but back in your day, and even Nate Tice's day, and John Clay, and O'Brien Schofield, and Scott Tolzien, and Moffitt, and Karimi, 10 wins was kind of the given. And I think that expectation could be out the window. Maybe the new expectation in this college football realm is that, hey, get 8 wins regularly and have a season that skyrockets, a surprise season where you make that run into the college football playoffs. That might be the new standard for Wisconsin football with the NIL. And I want to talk about Fickell, and I want to juxtapose him a little bit to a lot of Badger fans' favorite former Badger and Jim Leonard, who you can't argue a counterfactual. So if you prop him up and say the Badgers would be undefeated right now, I can't really argue against you. So Jim's in a great spot because he gets to be the guy that turned the program and went 4-3, including a 2-point victory or 1-point victory over Nebraska to become bowl eligible. But that is a topic for a little bit later in the show. But with college football where it's at, Brad, and NIL, and Wisconsin moving into, and I mean this with all due respect, a tougher conference than when you played. I feel like when the Badgers played when you were there, there were 6, maybe even depending on the year, 7 wins that you would be able to just put in the bag when you count the non-conference and you count the Big Ten, that you're three quarters of the way there, 70% to your 10 wins, just rolling your helmets out there. And that's not the case anymore because NIL has evened the playing field for a lot of people. And I think Wisconsin is trying to adjust to it, and we're seeing those growing pains.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right, Jim. College football is completely different. Big Ten's completely different. I remember looking at our schedule when I played from 08 to 2011. Those seasons, we had some really good teams, no doubt about it. I think objectively, we had really good teams and we had NFL players and, you know, we had success on a national level too. But when you look at the schedule, I remember two, maybe three games where you look at it and say, this is a marquee opponent. This is a top 25, maybe even top 10 type of opponent. And we're going to have to bring our A game to actually go ahead and beat them. But all the rest of the schedule, the rest of those 9, 10 games, whether it be non-conference or the old Big Ten, particularly the Big Ten West, you look at it and say, you know what, for where Wisconsin is now, sort of in between that tier one, tier two of the Big Ten, it should be a win. It should be a win that should be easy to handle. Nowadays, man, you look at the Badgers schedule, the current Big Ten, there's four games a year where you look at it and say, these are not just top Big Ten teams, these are top national championship contenders. It used to be where we only play maybe Ohio State, then maybe like an Iowa and a Michigan State, and that's like those are your big games. When you play the likes of a really good Penn State team and Oregon and Alabama, a quality Iowa, I mean, it's just nonstop when you have these opponents that are not just likely to win the Big Ten, but they're likely the 12 in the playoffs and maybe even the top four or five to win the whole thing. So it's a lot harder for them. And I got to say, too, you know, the idea of Wisconsin football was so heavily built on, we're looking for a type of person. We're looking for a type of recruit, someone who's willing to be gritty, who's willing to work, who's willing to be humbled, and we're going to develop them. It was a highly developmental type system because, I mean, even my class, I mean, we had a really successful run, but I don't think we were top 25 in recruiting rankings in 08. But you had plenty of guys, whether it be walk-on scholarships, and that continued to fill the ranks, three-star, maybe four-star, but they were developed, they were hungry, they were gritty. They were the Wisconsin football player that you knew. And then by the time that they were sophomores and juniors, they were built men, hungry to play the game, and that was the advantage that Wisconsin has. That type of developmental system, it's not possible anymore. The transfer portal, NIL, everything that goes with the challenge of attracting a talent like that and retaining them, I'm not sure it's possible in today's college football. So I don't envy the situation that Luke Fickell is in. Most college football, for that matter, because it's a high task. I think it's significantly harder than what Coach Bielema had when I played.
And I think that's a very important, it's almost different. The point you're making there, it's definitely harder, but it's almost a different sport. Because when I did put out that I don't know if the program would be better or worse with Jim Leonard, I honestly feel like it could be set up like Iowa is now. I don't think Iowa's got a long-term plan. Iowa's basically eating up short-term success, and I know that you got a background in finance there too. They're not really playing money ball. They're just taking the layups, the easy wins now, and not worrying about the future. That the way Iowa is set up, and I don't think their NIL is even as set up as Wisconsin's, and the way that Iowa's trying to run their offense and run their defense in a league that's going to be full of teams trying to spread them out, I don't know if those athletes will be able to hang long-term. Short-term, you might still be able to kind of keep things going. What Chris McIntosh did is take the long-term, the macro view of college athletics and say, we needed a guy in Luke Fickell to come in here and keep the Badger way. And if you were going to just make up a resume for someone, Luke Fickell's it. He has ties to the Big Ten as a player and a coach, but he also built up a program at Cincinnati from, I think his first year was 4 wins to 11 wins. Then he developed an NIL system that worked that he could bring to Wisconsin. Because let's be honest, when Paul Chris and Jim Leonard here, the NIL system it was non-existent. They didn't know what they were doing. The recruiting wasn't where it needed to be. They didn't have a plan for NIL. And I'm not saying Jim Leonard wouldn't have had a good plan or wouldn't have been a good coach, but when you have Luke Fickell, who has a plan in place that he can just take from Cincinnati to Wisconsin and say, here's NIL, this money didn't just fall into Luke Fickell's lap because he's a handsome fella. He knew what to do. He knew how to go get that money. He and Chris McIntosh knew and had a game plan. Here's how we gather all this money. Here's how we get these top coaches. And I think Leonard would have had some of that plan, but there's no proven track record with there. So the Fickell hire makes sense. I don't know if Fickell's the guy. We'll have to wait and see on that. But he is the guy that I think they needed to bring in to modernize Badger football. And he, like, you watch him on the sidelines, you watch him talk. He is, I have no doubt he is giving every bit of his effort to make this program great because he wants to make it great and he wants to be a great coach. And I think he'll get there. But to your point about recruiting, guys like Jaheim Thomas and Lowry from Syracuse, those players, they have more speed, they have more athleticism. But those transfers that maybe didn't get what they needed out of Syracuse and Arkansas, those are the guys you have to kind of find the new money ball inequalities and find those gritty players that maybe were overlooked at an Arkansas or Syracuse that will come in here with a chip on their shoulder. So it's on Fickell to kind of go back to, as we have Tarik Saleh joining the show at 1 o'clock, Badger Hall of UW Athletic Hall of Famer being inducted this weekend and is honorary captain this weekend. What you're talking about, Badger football, goes all the way back to Barry Alvarez. Now, what Luke Fickell needs to do, and I think he's trying to do with these players in the NIL, especially the transfers, is finding new players with chips on their shoulders and different chips on their shoulders. And maybe they're not from Wisconsin, but as Chris Orr, former Badger, will tell you, there's nobody that cares more about Badger football than Chris Orr, and he's from Texas. You don't have to be from Wisconsin to be honored to wear that W, and I think that's what Fickell has to find, is players, more players like Thomas and Lowry and Ches Malusi, who has been a leader on this team, and more guys like that in the program will get to where I think we all want it to be.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Jim. And thinking about Luke Fickell, when that hire occurred, I celebrated it. I said, here we go. Like, this is, you're totally right. The resume, the persona, the presence, the recruiting, the NIL. I mean, it used to be like boosters. Now it's NIL, which is a whole different animal. Yes. Luke Fickell is that guy that can lead this program into it. He is confronted with a very unique challenge. How do you maintain the essence of Wisconsin? How do you not forfeit the strengths that made Wisconsin what they are while also taking the step to the next stage of college football, which includes speed, includes renting players, which it'd be something like in Wisconsin I would have never dreamed of 10 years ago, of transfers and things like that. How do you introduce speed without sacrificing strength? How do you introduce explosiveness with still being able to dominate the line of scrimmage? It's a very tall task for Luke Fickell, but he's doing everything that I would expect him to do. They're ranking well in the transfer portal, in recruiting. I think the NIL has grown, but it's just a challenging task for him to do that. And oh yeah, you don't have a whole lot of time to finish the job because the Big Ten got very good very quickly.
He's got, I'll say this, I think Bill Rafferty used to say it, onions. He could have come in here and good. You know what? We're going to look even more like Ohio State, even how they ran their offense and ran their defense and look more Big Ten. He didn't do that. He brought in Phil Longo from North Carolina, who is a legendary coach as far as spreading the ball out, that air raid offense, which I can't believe we're running at Wisconsin. Then he brought in Tressel, obviously a name that's known in the Big Ten, but his defense is non-traditional for the Big Ten as well. But Fickell said, this is what I believe in. This is what I think we can have success in. He would have gotten, Brad, I believe, a lot more grace from fans if he just said, oh yeah, we're just going to run a modified 4 yards in a cloud of dust. We'll run, and Ohio State does more than that, but we're going to run the power offense with and then throw it deep. Like, Ohio State basically is like, look deep. If it's not open, you know, run with it or throw it short, and then we'll do a power run game. It's nothing fancy, nothing crazy. It's not the air raid. He could have come in here and run that and said, hey, we're going to keep that 3-4, and everyone would have just given him more of a grace because you come in and change things up at a program like Wisconsin that's had success, Brad, and we all love the success, but we talk about the Badger basketball, and we talked about the Badger football forever. How do we get to the top? And now that we've taken a swing for the top, we don't like the steps backwards we might have to take. Because it's scary. There's no guarantee we get to the top. But these steps, the plan for Luke Fickell is not to be a perennial 8-win team. The plan is to figure out a way to get this team to the top. And that might have to be reconfiguring scheme-wise what Wisconsin looked like for a long time.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I'm still getting used to the way the Badgers look on offense. I really am. I'm a lifetime Badger fan and an alum. And I'm still getting used to it. One thing, you know, I have a lot of maybe not criticisms is too strong, but things that are a little concerning from week one. I don't think Badger fans were at all satisfied with the win. Now, they got the win. They're 1-0. You move on. And there's going to be growth throughout the season. So I do have my concerns about this team and how they're going to do this year. But the one thing I did see, they look faster. They do look fast. I thought on defense, the secondary and like the linebackers, I felt like they were pretty fast. I felt like our skill position, you said like Malusi, you've got Walker. Yep. I do like our wide receiver talent. I'd like to see them, you know, explosive play more downfield. But they look faster. This is a faster Wisconsin team. The same side of that coin, though, for me is they don't look physical. And that's the thing that I think Badger fans and old traditionalists, if you want to even put me in that category, where it's like, this feels foreign. It feels uncomfortable. And there's like, where is the physicality that I could once rely on? I'm not seeing it there. But in order to be a top 10 team, you got to be fast and you got to be physical.
Yes.
So that's the challenge that Pickle has. You got to do both.
And that's the top programs. That's what you see out of LSU, or obviously you look in the Big Ten, Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, USC. They're fast and they're physical. And those are harder players to recruit, and you do need to develop some of them. And I think Wisconsin's getting there. And again, Paul Chris is a person, couldn't be better. I think Jim Leonard is a great coordinator, and I think maybe he'd be a great coach someday. I honestly look at the Jim Leonard situation much like Luke Fickle when he was passed over at Ohio State. Maybe Jim Leonard has the success at a school and college at some point. I believe he's an assistant out with Denver. But also, like, Jim Leonard wasn't the recruiter, and maybe he would have brought guys in. But the thing with Luke Fickle that I think is important, and then I want to get to your theory on tiers in the Big Ten and where the Badgers fall into that. But with Luke Fickle, he reminds me of Barry Alvarez in this one specific way. Barry Alvarez was the CEO of the Wisconsin Badgers, and he hired a coaching staff to coach the rest of the team. Luke Fickle understands that Paul Chris didn't, and Jim Leonard, I don't know if he did or didn't, but did not give off the vibe of someone who's willing to put in all of the grind and the pomp and circumstance and literally song and dance that needs to be done in today's college football with the NIL. And how much, and I've heard Luke Fickle speak about it, that it's not even in his personality to do some of the goofy things they need to do when the players are on campus to get them excited about coming here. But he also understands, if I'm going to win, and all we have to do is look at Badger Volleyball, the team we all love, and you can listen to those games here on ESPN Madison, you got to have the best players. Badger Volleyball has the best players. It doesn't matter what you have to do to get those best players, and the NIL is less important in Badger Volleyball, but that'll be rising. But Luke Fickle understood, pride, personality-wise, I am the CEO of Badger football, which means I have to get money. I have to do what by any means necessary to get these players to come here. I will do any media. We will revamp everything about Wisconsin football to make it more appealing to play at and more appealing to come here and make them feel welcome. And what we had a track record for and what we've seen of is Luke Fickle would have done that and does that. Paul Chris wanted no part of that, and that's just the way college football went. And Jim Leonard felt more like Crist than Fickle. That Jim Leonard, I think, could be a great NFL coach because you still can coach ball in the NFL. In college football, you have to be the CEO of your college football program. And I feel much more comfortable that Fickle is a guy who's comfortable in that role than maybe Jim Leonard would have been.
That are now head coaches, inevitably you say, if you were to talk to them, I think I even asked Coach Bielema this, and I talked to other guys that are in the coaching ranks. Once they become head coaches, what's the downside of being a head coach? They'll say, I miss coaching. Mm-hmm. But you're the head coach. No, but they miss the actual act of coaching. That's the reason they got into it, because they're brilliant football minds and they probably had a good track record on the field. And then you get into basically teaching. You are in teaching mode of all of your players. But that goes away when you become a head coach. You literally miss out of the actual coaching. You become more of a figurehead. I feel like that is what Luke Fickle is leaning into. I think Coach Bielema, when I was there, actually part of him enjoyed that. But part of him was always the tough, gritty, physical Brett Bielema from Iowa, all that kind of stuff. So you have to do that. It almost has to be your primary job and let your coaches coach. But you're exactly right. It comes down to players. I think there's a direct correlation between any given recruiting year and how that team finishes up. I mean, there's no surprise that it's Ohio State and Georgia and Alabama and Texas that are getting the best recruits, and those guys are also top 10. And then just finding the right coaches to get those guys in there. I think Fickell is doing that. And to bring up your point on, okay, so what does this all mean? What does this all mean for the Wisconsin Badgers? Where are they at? You know, on KBN this week, and I know that you guys heard this too, I'm basically looking at a snapshot of this Wisconsin Badger program and say, I think they look a lot like Nebraska. And I'm not saying this is the Nebraska from, you know, the 2010s where they got three or four wins. That's not the Nebraska I'm talking about. I think Wisconsin and Nebraska have elite fan groups, elite game day experiences. In some ways, it feels like the best days are behind them. And, you know, they're trying to evolve into this new Big Ten, this new college football world. And as we currently look at it, a snapshot of these two teams, nobody really fears them. And I think they're like a 6-8 win team right now. I think that's exactly where Nebraska is. I think that's where Wisconsin is. And my only concern is it's hard to get to that top tier of the Big Ten. Once as you're there, you got to use the momentum to keep you there. But once as you have descended to be a middle Big Ten team, you have to legitimately claw your way back. And back when I was playing, all you got to do is knock out a couple teams, right? You beat Ohio State once and you beat a top-ranked Iowa team. That's what we did my junior year to go to the Rose Bowl and then just went chalk the rest of the way. That's not the case anymore. You got to beat Ohio State and you got to beat Oregon and you got to beat Michigan and Penn State and USC and all these teams. If you want to actually win the Big Ten, be in the top tier, it can't be fluky. It has to be you legitimately, man for man and coach for coach, are capable of beating these other top teams in the Big Ten. And that just feels like it's a long way away. I'm not saying it's impossible, but these other programs have such an advantage from NIL and recruiting. And those things dictate success of your program. And you can have an upset here and there, but if you're going to be a top Big Ten team, if you're going to make the playoff, you can't fake it into that. You have to legitimately earn it. And right now, I don't even view them as tier two. I think they're tier three. I think I got like Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, USC, Penn State. That's like number one. I kind of got like Washington, Penn State in tier two. And then, you know, Nebraska and Maryland and the Badgers and, you know, these guys that are kind of Minnesota. I hate to say it. Minnesota, 6-8 wins. I'd be shocked if they get to 9, Jim.
All right, so let's dig a little bit deeper into that, and I do want to take a moment here, and again, this is the Jump Around 3.0. I'm Jim Rutledge. I've hosted a Jump Around with multiple different hosts, and I'm excited now in this YouTube-streamed show, and it'll be airing live at 12:30 on Thursdays. We have Tarik Saleh, UW Athletic Hall of Famer, all-time leader in sacks and TFLs in UW in Badger football history. He's the honorary captain this week, and he's joining us a little bit after 1. And I want to give a shout-out, though. Brad Nortman is my co-host here, but Hunter and Ryan have done a great job putting together the rundown for this show from Ryan and a lot of the things happening, everything that's happening outside of Brad and I talking during the show and all these great video clips that we're going to continue to show throughout. That's all Ryan. And then Hunter obviously built out this great format for us and this great screen for us. So we appreciate both of their help. Getting to the tiers. So this is kind of what Ryan had built out a little bit, and that's why I wanted to make sure to give him credit. And I'm with you on it. There's a little bit of leeway here. So he has at the top of the Big Ten is Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, USC, and he has tier two. So that's his tier one. His tier two is Penn State, Iowa, Maryland, and Washington. And I agree with his tier one, and maybe we could tick Penn State and Washington up. But then if I'm looking at it, where I have the Badgers living is, it's tier three, but I'm sorry, I know you have a really good point on tier climbing, but climbing above an Iowa or a Maryland, and depending where we have Nebraska or Purdue, climbing above them isn't terrifying. So I have Wisconsin kind of below the Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Oregon, USC, Washington's of the world, more on par, give or take, each year with Iowa and Maryland, and maybe this year they're in front of them. And then Nebraska, Illinois, Rutgers, Northwestern, Purdue, and Wisconsin all in that mix. And I think Michigan State, UCLA, Indiana, and Minnesota are trending down and are currently down. So we're not that far off, but I don't think the Badgers are that far away from Tier 2, but I think they're a million miles away, just as far as they've ever been from Tier 1.
I'm right there with you. Those Tier 1 teams, it feels a little bit like, it's going to sound a little bit mean, but a little bit like varsity JV. I mean, those guys, just, they look different. those guys are drafted in the first round of the NFL draft. I mean, like, it is every part about it looks like they're playing a different ball game. So for Wisconsin, I agree with you. I think to go from tier two to tier three is just the difference of a couple good recruiting classes, getting the right positions right. Like the Badgers, if you're a new air raid, you got to get the quarterback position right.
Yep.
Like that has become, and we even talked about this, Jim, it's become a little bit NFL-like, where if you're going to be successful in anywhere in college football, particularly for this offense, you got to get the quarterback right. If you don't have that, you're going to have a really hard time moving up. But if you can get some playmakers on defense and offense and you get the right quarterback, you can move up to tier one. You can end the season ranked. I think that's a good next step for the Wisconsin Badgers. End the year top 25. I mean, I'm not saying college football playoff, but if you can end, that's probably 9 wins. If you can get to 9 wins, you're probably somewhere 15 to 25. And that's a respectable step forward. And then let's start talking about college football playoff and trying to figure out how we can catch Ohio State and Oregon.
And we have a little interactive poll that we posted last night. We're going to get Brad's Badger stories. And this one we asked which fan story do they want to... We asked the fans what story from Brad they want to hear. The Iowa fake punt is the story. But Ryan, you helped put together this list. You kind of have Wisconsin squarely in tier three. I feel like Brad and I both feel like tier one's a big step. But again, it goes back to... You brought in Fickell to say we may have to drop to tier three because we're going to lose some of the things we do well. And I hope that when we come back, we're reconfigured stronger and have players that can compete in that tier one. Where do you have Wisconsin, Ryan? And then do you think tier two or tier one, like how possible are those?
So it is kind of funny when we talk about these tiers because I think everyone sees them as like three. I think the Badgers are in that third tier right now, but I think there's almost a fourth tier what the Big Ten is, and this one changes the most year to year. I mean, this is where currently Minnesota is the only
the
team,
only one in it.
Only team that does not have a win so far in the Big Ten. I just want to get that out there. Yeah. But I think teams like UCLA is really down bad right now after losing their head coach to Ohio State, and other programs like Michigan State losing Mel Tucker and now trying to bring in a whole transfer portal haul again to rebuild their program. I think those programs are the ones that I'm afraid of Wisconsin slipping further towards, really. I see those ones as absolute rebuilds, where Nebraska was up until probably this year, really, with Matt Rhule.
And
Dylan Raiola,
yes,
the
quarterback. That is the most important.
That's a gigantic piece, for sure. And that's the biggest piece. With the quarterback in college football, as Evan Cohen said on Jim Madden Molly a few weeks ago, you can win games and you can turn things around. But as of right now, I just don't feel great that there's that true bedrock for Wisconsin football. And also, I don't know if they really have a quarterback of the future. Like, I don't know if there's many things you can hang your hat on for Wisconsin, which is why I'm worried that they're closer to that tier four than they might even be to tier two with some of the more stable programs in the Big Ten.
And we can get into recruiting more next week. There are some quarterbacks on the roster who at least have the accolades and stars you're looking for. I think what you're really saying is they need to find whoever the top quarterback is in the country and hire their uncle. And then the Badgers can get that.
That would help.
Because that's probably the best case scenario.
I mean,
and obviously, Raiola has ties, I believe, a little bit to Wisconsin as well. We could have done more.
I was going to say, as good as NIL is, nepotism is really attractive.
Yeah, I mean, that's tried and true forever. We got to get to Tarek Saleh. Ryan, thanks for hopping on. But I do want to get Brad's Badger stories. We promised that you, the listener, could vote on what story you wanted to hear. So, Brad, I know you've told the story before, so I'll kind of give you the floor. But, you know, the thought process, where we were in the game, paint those pictures, that those dazzling details about time and place, your thought process, and what was going on before the play, after the play, and during that play, as the famous, and I believe that Ryan is going to bring it up on the stream here as well and play it, but that famous play against Iowa with the fake punt.
Well, it's ironic, right? So I'm a punter and I've even punted in the NFL. And what I'm most known for here in Wisconsin is that fake punt and then a fake punt in the Rose Bowl. So not even punting the football, which I will take. But, you know, this play was drawn up earlier in the week. Oftentimes, we'll have kind of a fake ready, but there's not much lean in, not much buy-in, because we look at it schematically in game plan. And we say, you know what? Likely that we're not going to run this. This play, when we showed up on Monday and we did install, Coach Bielema got up in front of us, which is rare, right? Usually a special teams coach would primarily only do it. And he said, look, y'all need to be ready for this play. We are going to run this play. In fact, I'm naming it Chains because I'm so confident that when we run it, we are going to move the chains. And here is why. And then him and Coach Partridge pulled up the film, and what you saw was Iowa players, the moment the punter caught the ball and started to mold it, their backs were turned and they were fully in return mode.
They were like jogging as you watch it. Yeah.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. And so, and they're like, they force it with one person. So our three-man shield will neutralize one and you'll be able no problems to go ahead and run it. So I said, okay. So we did it all week. And, you know, it gets to the game. And this is on the heels of beating Ohio State, number one team in the country at Camp Randall. And Coach Bielema said all week, that win doesn't mean anything if you don't go to Iowa City and beat a top 15 Iowa team. So we go to Iowa City, tough place to play. The game is going on. There's a bunch of NFL future players on both sides of the ball. It's a great game. We come out of halftime, do a couple punts in the first half, come out of halftime, early third quarter. Coach Bielema comes up to me and says, hey, we're running chains. Get your running shoes on. So I'm like, okay, let's go. I'm about to tote the rock in a college football game in Iowa. We don't punt all the rest of the third quarter. Early fourth quarter. This is like an hour of real lifetime. Yeah. And I'm sitting here with my heart beating out of my chest thinking, when are we actually going to go punt? So, I mean, this is how ironic legacies are formed, right? Because Coach B is given a lot of credit for running this play and having the courage, the fortitude to actually call it. Because it wasn't until we punted with like 4 minutes to go. I mean, we can see it on the game film. 4 or 5 minutes to go on our own 24, fourth and six. We go out there and he says, he looks at it for a second and says, we're running chains, go. And so I go out there and it takes a lot of courage for him to say, you know what, we're still going to run it. I know that this situation might look scary. Maybe analytics would say you punt it, you try to hold them and get the ball back because we were down. But he said, hey, we're going to go run it. So sure enough, I'm back there. I'm a little lightheaded, if I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure what's going to happen. But you can see it was a catch mold. And, you know, I basically, once I get to the top mold, I yell, go. And that's just that have like that first three guys caravan move forward. I do it. I spin the ball. I yell, go. I look up. And sure enough, I see nothing but the back of black Iowa Hawkeye jerseys. I couldn't believe it. It was surreal. You can even see it in the film, particularly the wide angle. It was surreal to be running down the field and everybody is like running with you. Everyone's running in the same direction of you the other way. And so we're running. I outpaced my blockers. Probably could have got more yards than the 17. Needed six, got 17. Probably could have gotten more if I would have actually waited. My adrenaline was pumping so much. I mean, you can see everyone start to run the other direction. It was just surreal. All I saw was green grass. Now here's my regret. And you saw it right there when I slide. I never thought about the end of the play. Because Coach said, you need to get down. I don't need you getting hurt. I don't need you fumbling it. So I never thought, what's my tactic for getting down? So you do it, you catch, you mold, you run, and you just go for as long as you can. The moment I start to see guys spin around and come at me, I just collapse. Like I just went down as if a sniper got me from the upper deck, and it was the most ungraceful, unathletic slide you could possibly muster up. And that's my one regret. I wish I could have done like the slide into second or, you know, try to juke a tackle. So it was unbelievable. We went down the score. Monte Ball scored the game-winning touchdown. And it was a huge game on the way to a Big Ten championship in a Rose Bowl season. So it was thrilling. I can see it in my mind's eye. And it's one of the highlights of my career.
A couple quick things before we get to Tarik Saleh, UW Athletic Hall of Fame inductee this year, all-time leader in sacks, UW history, honorary captain for this game this weekend. One, you brought up one of the things I had was your slide. It made me think of Hard Knocks when they showed all the quarterbacks sliding on the slip and slide. And I feel like a little slip and slide time for you, Brad, would have helped there because, and I've seen it plenty where you don't know how to get down. And, you know, honestly, though, I know the results. Watching it, I think I remember thinking like he could fumble it now because like you're going down so awkward, or you hurt yourself because you went down awkward. So like you can see why when you see a bad slide like yours, you're like, oh, this is why they practice it, because that looks like it could have gone really bad.
They probably pull up that tape and say, this is what you don't want to
be. Right. When you yelled go, did you have to like remind yourself, like, you got to yell it, Brad? Like, because obviously it's loud. You're going to be, like you talked about, adrenaline flowing in your nerves a little bit. you have to like almost coach yourself to be like, I got to yell. I got to think. I got to say this 10 times louder than I think I need to say it. Was that in your thought process?
It's funny you say that, because in practice, we would do that and we would practice the timing of it and me yelling go. And like, I'm not used to doing cadences or anything like that. So I underestimate how loud you have to be on the field. You have to scream it. The first couple times in practice on Tuesday, the first set of like heavy practice day, Coach B got up in my situation and said, son, you got to use some bass when you say go. Like, you got to actually scream it, because these guys aren't going to hear you. So I think it was adrenaline plus good coaching all week that I let it rip with the go call. I'm surprised it didn't. I mean, everyone was so far downfield, they probably couldn't hear it. But I knowing those guys were my first line of defense, I made sure they heard it.
And then the last thing, in the video, there's a coach that comes over to you. I don't know if you know who that was, and maybe Ryan can play the video again. It's the very end of it, but they kind of wrap their arm around you, and they're yelling something to you. I want to know if you actually remember it. We can watch the video one more time if you don't remember. As you said, Iowa, they all turn, and they also almost all jog. There's your graceful fall. And now they're going to cut. You see Brady Ewing there. I think it cuts to Bielema. And then right here, there's a coach that wraps her arm around you. And I was wondering who this was after Ference. They're going to show the replay once.
So I was greeted by Coach B. You can see him kind of take off his headphone. And I was greeted and embraced by
there
him
it is.
First.
Yeah.
And then I can't tell who that is. I think that was the wide receivers coach.
Okay.
And I think he was even like made a comment, something like, playmaker, who would have knew you'd be like that? It was something like that, some sort of like razzing me for being like, you know, we got to give you the ball more often, playmaker, something like that. It's so strange when you go through something like that, which partially defined my Wisconsin career. Like I said, it was lightheaded before the play started.
Yeah,
I didn't even think about sliding. So you just kind of go down. Your body just takes over. You could even tell in my face right there in that frozen spot.
Yeah.
The world is just spinning, right? Like I didn't even celebrate, really. I got up and I tossed the ball to the ref and just jogged back to the sideline. You're so unprepared for that type of situation. If it was a punt, like I'm comfortable. Like I know what to do. I'll celebrate. But in a situation like that, which partially defined my college football career, I don't even remember like having control of my body. It was so wild.
So now we're going to bring on Tarik Saleh, and we'll congratulate Tarik on his upcoming induction in the UW Athletic Hall of Fame. Well-earned all-time leader in sacks, UW history, TFLs as well. Tarik, you're obviously a huge Badger fan as well. You've been doing stuff on our air for ESPN Madison. I hosted with you for a decade. You've talked Badgers on our air for over 20 years. What was your reaction as an alum, as a former player, as a fan, when you saw Brad Nortman pick up the call from Brett, the onions needed from Brett to make that call, where they were, time in the game, location on the field, but then also as Brad's running, what was going through your mind when that happened?
Well, first of all, I thought just kickers didn't have to play. They just had to kick, right, as Bill Parcells said. So, no, I have to dig in my big brain up here to remember all that stuff. But, you know, in order to make that play, it was tremendous. And keep the drive alive and all that, that's amazing. Brad was an unbelievable punter for us, and what a great pro, too. So I'm a big fan of Brad's, and it's great that he's on the team now. So we get to celebrate that, and it's awesome.
All right. Well, Tarik, go ahead, Brad.
Tarik, quick question before I got to go, because I got to go host KBN here. We're doing it from Pottawatomie, so I got to make sure I get there as well. But quick question, your evaluation of the slide, do you think I should have tried to break a tackle, be a man and take a hit, or just accept my fate and slide the way I did? What is your evaluation of that pathetic end of the play?
I think your memory serves you well now, and your slide is what you should have done, so you have that memory, so good job.
All right. Well, Brad, I'll let Thanks, you Tarik. Go.
Congratulations.
Yeah, you can wish your congratulations to Tarik Saleh. And Brad, thank Tarik. You.
Yeah, real Appreciate quick, Tarik, you, congratulations. Just so well earned. You are an icon for Wisconsin football. Oh. One of the guys that set the tone for the program for guys like me to step in and be able to enjoy a team that was already, we talked about tiers where the Badgers were. It was already in the tier one, tier two of Wisconsin in Big Ten world. So huge congratulations for building the bedrock for what would be and still is an iconic program. So congratulations.
Thanks a lot. Look forward to celebrating with you, brother. Thank you.
Right on.
All right, that's Brad Nortman. He's going to go host KBN at Pottawatomie. You can watch that, Twitter, Wisconsin the Man, our YouTube feed. Listen on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison until obviously 4 o'clock when Jim, Matt, and Molly starts up. One of my original co-hosts along with Derek Engler is Tarek Salah. Long time coming, Tarek. You get into the UW Athletic Hall of Fame. I know you don't do well with getting, pumped up and fluffed up here, so I'll kind of avoid that part of it. And obviously, I'll just kind of list that you should have been a Hall of Famer before this. You're an all-time leader in sacks, all-time leader in TFLs, part of some legendary Badger teams, helped turn this program around with your former teammate, Derek Engler. You're an honorary captain coming up here, and you're going into the UW Athletic Hall of Fame. What You can share a couple, but what moments from your career really stand out as you look back going in as a Hall of Famer that stand out, where it could be on the field, off the field, that really helped kind of just solidify how great it was to be here at the University of Wisconsin-Madison?
Well, there are games that were awesome. The Rose Bowl, playing in one of the greatest games ever in front of that many people is iconic. Beating Michigan at the Big House, actually beating Michigan prior to going to the Rose Bowl was awesome. So you beat Michigan, it's awesome. And then beating Penn State at Penn State, they had a big long home winning streak. And then, playing for Coach Alvarez was awesome. And just the culture that he built and to be a part of that was tremendous. And it serves me well today. A lot of the characteristics and kind of the behaviors or what have you that Coach kind of put together and built, I use those today. And then, the staff and the coaches, my teammates, that experience with them, John Palermo, my position coach, taught me so much. I think I would have been a fullback in any other system. I had to play fullback in the NFL because of how the defense changed. I'm probably a football player first and then whatever position I play second. But Coach Palermo taught me the fundamentals that I could be dynamic and be able to play. Special teams is the own different animal, especially in the NFL. So I was grateful for all the techniques that Coach Palermo taught me. So it's just it's a collective group of Badgers that really gave me all the tools to be able to not only play football, but in life you come across adversity, and along with what my parents taught me, obviously it just reinforced it at Wisconsin. And it's just I'm just grateful for the experience, and I'm really excited to celebrate with my friends, family, and teammates. It's gonna be special.
And obviously, I know that you and Derek have a very lifelong friendship. You and Coach Alvarez have remained very close. Pete Monty's another guy that's been part of your circle. You guys talked about Don Davey, he's been part of the show, things like that. So
yeah,
that other aspect of it, you kind of touched on it, but playing at Wisconsin, especially under Alvarez, and I've seen it with the Bielema guys and Paul Chryst guys, and I'm sure it'll exist for Fickell as well. But it is a different era now with NIL and players bounce a little bit more. So talk about that special bond you were able to create with the university, as we joke that you're on scholarship for the last 30 years. But it is something. You have that relationship with Coach Alvarez. You have that relationship with Derek and Pete, and you've been able to kind of just have this Badger network of people to lean on through your entire life. And I think it's just one of those unique things that I don't think every college football program has.
Well, I don't think everyone has it, but I know we have it. And, start with Coach Alvarez and the commitment. We walked into the football facility in our meeting rooms. It had love, trust, commitment, and belief on there. And it's coach speak and something you kind of go by it, and it's passive, and you may dismiss it as a young man. But, that love, trust, commitment, that's really true. And, and one caveat to that, you don't all have to love each other, but you should respect each other, right? Yeah. And whether it's on the team, in your family, with your friendships, at work, all those characteristics exist. And, playing for Coach, again, was awesome. He built that culture. It is a fraternity. And, Derek Engler is a dear friend, and I really enjoy doing the show with him. And our friendship goes, I get to see him every day, so that's awesome. Yeah. Pete, I talk to a lot. And there's a lot of guys. There's guys you know, obviously guys that played for Coach before and after who I feel like I'm part of their team. I want to be on their team for life. And obviously the teammates that I played with, I'm grateful that I could be their teammate. And you know, there's guys even way before that I've gotten to know, you know, the Chris Oswalds, Al Toon, Joe Armentrout, and then guys today, you know, the Nelson brothers, who their dad Todd played, and they treat me like family, and I love the whole culture that's built with Wisconsin football, and this is what it's about, just celebrating with those guys and with family and friends again. It's nice to be on that plaque up with the rest of the Hall of Fame honors. But look, we're only here for so long, right? And you want to enjoy it, and you want to celebrate with your friends, and it's really about the collective group of us all hanging out and having a good time.
And what you've established here at the University of Wisconsin, you know, with Alvarez and with Bevel and Fletcher and that whole crew that kind of established modern day Badger football. I think every Badger fan owes you a thanks for that. I mean, and obviously long time coming with the Hall of Fame and even afterwards with McIntosh and Bollinger and Dane and all these players, they've all established to where we're at now. And thank you for that, Tarik. And then what I want to ask, though, is I've kind of taken this view on the Badger football program is that it looked like it was regressing a little bit under Paul because college football is changing and maybe Paul wasn't willing to change with it. And maybe Jim was, maybe he wasn't, maybe he knew what he was doing, maybe he didn't. But Wisconsin bringing in a guy like Luke Fickell, who had a proven track record, who understood the Big Ten, having played in and coached in a little bit, knew how NIL was working, had success of building a program up, and his resume was everything you'd want in a premier coach to come to Wisconsin, because we all talked about taking Wisconsin to the next level. And to take Wisconsin to the next level meant competing for national championships. And I'm hopeful that this team, because it took a lot of onions for Luke Fickell to come in and say, hey, we're running the air raid, and we're running a different defense than we've seen here in a long time or ever, and we're going to do it my way, and we're going to get it done, and we're going to bring in the athletes we need to get it done. I think Wisconsin's in one of those, hey, we got to take a step back before we take a step forward, because I think even though the players have changed and the way that you recruit changed, I think when you look at guys like Jaheim Thomas and Lowry and Ches Malusi, you still can find these Badger-type players in the portal, ones with chips on their shoulders who want to develop at Wisconsin. I think you still can have that essence at Wisconsin. I think Fickell still wants that. It's just a matter of readjusting this roster to what's going to work long-term in the Big Ten, because the Big Ten is faster, quicker, and more explosive and heavier at the top than it's ever been.
Yeah, no question. I think all those seemed, you know, fair statements. Paul was a tremendous coach for us, and I'm grateful for what he did. And Jimmy was an awesome coach. You know, whether they would be successful or not, right? It's hard to predict where they would go in this era, but I they were awesome coaches. I know they're going to do well in everything they do going forward. And then Luke coming aboard, I think Luke has a lot of the same mentality as those guys do. He's a tough, smart, you know, smart, dependable guy. You know, he's a wrestler, he's a nose guard. He likes the gritty guys. And a lot of the characteristics, I think, from when Barry was there through Bielema, Paul, and Jimmy, they all exist in these guys today, like you said. So it's a big challenge now with, you know, having the Big Ten the way it is and the NIL. It's just it definitely presents a whole crazy environment that, you know, who would have predicted this 5 years ago, right?
Right.
The NCAA 5 years ago, they worried about, like, how many meals you had. I mean, literally, you
yeah.
know, like if the softball team on a doubleheader on their, you know, they have to have four meals. Well, they couldn't because of rules. I mean, it was a dereliction of duty by the NCAA. So, yeah, it put us in this position, and I think Luke was the best guy to take over. And, you know, it is a full business, and we're trying to adjust, and it'll be an evolution that's going to have to take place both on and off the field, you know, with whatever salary cap or whatever they call it, how compensation goes, and then how do you recruit the players and then recruit them on a yearly basis. It's wild, the whole scenario that's going on, and it presents a lot of challenges, but we seem to be moving along and progressing. Maybe we take a step back. Maybe we don't. I think last week, you know, we talked about this, and I heard you guys talking about it, that, you know, we've had our challenges in the past for Utah State, Citadel. Mm-hmm. We played against SMU early on. I mean, every year there are those challenges, and I think they kind of kept things pretty vanilla last week. So I look forward to the next step. I like to see the defense play up front a little bit better, even though we're challenged in depth of the defensive line, and then having our quarterback look downfield a little bit more and get some big explosive plays.
The one comp and targets, the last thing I got for you, I see between Fickell and Alvarez and Bielema that I think Paul, 20 years ago, really could have worked in college football. He's a ball coach. He wants to coach football, and he's an excellent football coach, and he really knows how to get the most out of his players, schematically developing them on the offensive side of the ball. Bielema and Alvarez, ball coaches, but understood that even in their day of coaching college football, and I think Luke Fickell understands this as well, when you're the head football coach of a program, a Power 5 program, you're the CEO. You can't be the ball coach. You can't be in the X's and O's as much. You have to kind of take that wide macro view of the program and let the micro side of things be handled by the coaches, and you have to hire the right coaches. But successful coaches in college football throughout time have, in my opinion, been CEOs more than they've been coaches once they finally get that job.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. You know, it's tough because I love Paul so much, you know, and I think he was a great coach.
Yes.
You know, you could say that. I think Paul could probably put a plan together because he never had the opportunity to deal with the NIL to the extent that it is. Perhaps, you know, when John Taylor left, right, there was a void there in terms of certain things, and maybe some things got exposed a little bit because he was such a big play guy. So yeah, that theory is true. I do think that you need to have a CEO type guy. Whether Paul would be that guy,
setting that aside, I was more of a compliment of Fickell and Barry and Brett.
Yeah, very good point, and. You know, it's gonna take that, and I look forward to seeing Fickell continue to evolve and grow. And I love to see. I know this is gonna be such a challenging year. The schedule is unbelievable. We saw USC the other day, and they were supposed to not be as good as they were, and they balled out. And you know, of course, these other teams are really good. So we're gonna have our big challenge in all these games, and I look forward to seeing them developing, but I think Luke has the right mindset to be able to be that CEO.
Well, Tar, congratulations on your induction into the UW Athletic Hall of Fame. Long time coming, all-time leader in sacks, TFLs in Wisconsin history, first-team All-American, part of Rose Bowl championship teams, and have fun on Saturday at Camp Randall as you and all the inductees will be recognized during the game.
Well, thank you, and Jim, great to visit with you. This is awesome. You and I could just banter here for a little bit, and let's go Pack, go Badgers, and let's have a great weekend.
Yeah, it was good catching up. It was like old times, Tarek. Thank you so much.
Thanks, man.
That is Badger legend Tarek Salla, now a Badger Hall of Famer. Really happy to be able to say that. I hosted with Tarek Salla and Derek Engler for a long time. Thanks for watching. If you watched all the way through, you dropped in. This is the Jump Around. We're unofficially calling it the Jump Around 3.0. It has a nice long history. Started as a podcast. Had a lot of great players on. Had a lot of great followers and friends. Then morphed into a solo show that I did that was not Badger-centric on the airwaves here in ESPN Madison. That show has turned into Rutledge and Hamilton, and now Jim, Matt, and Molly, you can listen to that weekdays 4 to 6. But for this specific show on ESPN Madison, we'll be streaming every Thursday at 12:30. Brad Norton will be my regular co-host for the time coming. I think we have some very exciting news, hopefully, to announce next week. And so that will be fun. So stay tuned to ESPN Madison socials for that. And if you missed today's show, obviously you can watch it back on YouTube. And otherwise, it'll be in the Varsity folder on Wisconsin On Demand, Apple, Spotify, and those great places. That's where you can find the Jump Around 3.0. For Brad Nortman and Ryan Wollersheim, I am Jim Rutledge. Thanks for watching.